Hello, everyone out there. This is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, and I would love for you all getting involved to support Brandon Stations and his network. If you use the promo code WVW, you can save up to 66% off all my products at MyPillow.com, and half the proceeds are going to go to support his great network. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual value. Moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Going to be joined today by Carl Tykrib out of Canada. Carl is an expert on technocracy, transhumanism, globalism, and the interfaith movement to bring about world government. We'll define some of these terms for the new people real quick so we don't leave anyone behind, as we're always adding new people to the broadcast. Carl, welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on your program again.
Well, thank you. We're glad to have you back, and we appreciate all the hard work that you do to bring us the information that you're going to today. You've been very busy the last few days. Tell me about what you've been attending online and how long the hours, because you've been putting in some long hours.
Yes. I attended the Parliament of World Religions. This was the 8th Parliament. And because of the COVID restrictions, it was held online on a virtual platform. And the first day was Saturday evening, and it went from 7 o'clock my time, Central Time, and I think I closed up my computer and finally went to bed sometime after midnight or around midnight. But it went late into the night. Sunday was all day. I probably did a good 12 or 13 hours in the saddle. Monday was very similar, from 9 o'clock in the morning until about 5:30 in the afternoon. So those are, you know, it's a long time to have your head in the game. And I was commenting to my Facebook followers in real time, providing notes, almost like a Coles Notes version, of what the different speakers were saying in the breakout sessions and in the plenaries. And so for the folks who follow me on Facebook, they were getting the real-time feed, my thoughts, and specifically what the speakers themselves were conveying and saying to their audience. And keep in mind, Brandon, this isn't my first parliament. I've been to two others, and it's interesting to see how this movement has political legs.
Yeah.
And so that was the crux of the last few days.
Well, thank you for doing all that and for being here to tell us about it, because it is important. And people say, oh, well, these are just a bunch of religious kooks that get together. They have no real global influence. You know, it really doesn't matter what went on at the Parliament of World Religions. That has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with global governance, has nothing to do with public policy. They couldn't be further from being wrong, correct? This is a movement of people that are, many of them, either formerly elected officials who are now plugged into major think tanks, foundations, non-government organizations, or they are current elected officials throughout the globe who are indeed making law, making public policy, correct?
Absolutely. And just as important for people to realize, and this is something I learned when I attended the G8 interfaith gathering that took place in 2010. A lot of people don't realize, but the G8 G20 also has an interfaith component. What was said at that event, and it has stuck with me, is that religions have sometimes a larger constituency than national government. So if we as, I'm using we in quotations, as we as religious leaders, if we can rally our members, if we can rally our constituents to certain causes, of global governance, supporting United Nations empowerment, a carbon tax, whatever it is, whatever social, political, economic goals we have in mind, if we can rally our troops, we have the ability to change government itself.
So I interviewed you for my documentary Siege, which people can watch an hour for free at siegethemovie.com, siegethemovie.com. It's 8.5 hours. I did not realize, by the way, folks, that Siege had not been added to the Situation Room. So any of you that are Situation Room members, Siege, all 8.5 hours of Siege, I will start loading that to the Situation Room today. I thought it was already in there. I didn't realize it wasn't. So if you go to situationroom.net after today, today being October 20th, after today, Siege the movie will be under the library tab. If you look under the library tab and then hover over that cursor of library, then it'll bring up a new tab of different segments, and one of them is documentaries or docu-movies. I'll have Siege, they'll start putting Siege in there today. So in my documentary Siege, I interviewed you about some of these characters. Some of them are now back, but one of them was a guy named Lawson, and I think he was back, Reverend James Lawson. And this is a black gentleman, I think if I remember correctly, was heavily involved in the civil rights movement here in America, and he kept using the term in his speech a couple years ago, which I included in my documentary Siege when I interviewed you. He was continuing to talk about plantation capitalism. Is that what he called it, plantation capitalism here in America?
That's correct. And he did that again this time as well. And so, I mean, that resonates with this particular crowd because for the most part, this particular crowd opposes certainly opposes American culture the way we understand it within the evangelical community. And so his perspective is certainly far more Marxist in orientation. And again, same thing. He was proposing that we need to end plantation capitalism. And it was very similar rhetoric. Again,
did he ever define plantation capitalism? Does he know there aren't slaves in America today? Does he not know that?
It's a way of demonizing capitalism. It's a way of putting a spin on it. It's a way of putting a kind of a sour taste in your mouth. And he does define it to some extent. It's this idea that what we are essentially economic slaves operating under larger slave masters who hold the purses of finance and our economy. But that, you know, he's not taking into effect the fact that capitalism, free market capitalism, offers everybody choice and everybody opportunity if you're willing to pursue it.
So what was the theme 2 years ago? What was that theme? You remember years ago?
Yes, so? The theme 2 years ago, in fact, I have the Parliament workbook in front of me, was the promise of inclusion, the power of love.
That's right. The promise of inclusion, the power of love. And yet they were very exclusionary. They were not going to include Christians, capitalists, free market people, Trump supporters, those concerned about national security, like borders. Those people were not going to be included. So inclusion and the power of love, so they weren't including everybody, and there wasn't a whole lot of love because they continued to call Christians and conservatives the great threat. In fact, one lady, some lady, a liberal Baptist minister lady, was there doing some kind of Buddha sand art, which included God Kali or something, and the Kali had a belt of severed heads around his waist, bloody dripping heads, decapitated, which included, if I remember correctly, a member of the U.S. Supreme Court, right?
Right, Justice Kavanaugh. Justice Kavanaugh, his severed bloody head was being held by Kali, and this was her social activism. This was her cry of anger against white power, against conservative thinking, against the Trump administration, and against specifically Justice Kavanaugh, and of course the accusations that came out that year around himself, which turned out to be false. And ironically, those accusations turned out to be false, I believe, the very week of the Parliament in 2018. But facts don't matter.
So there was so much love there. I mean, again, the power, the inclusion and the power of love. That's what it was called again a few years ago?
That's right, 2018. And this year, the theme was opening our hearts to the world.
Opening our hearts to the world.
Right. And the sub-theme, compassion in action. Keep in mind, when they speak of compassion and they speak of action, it is action oriented towards social justice. It is critical race theory. It has a Marxist spin, so much of it does, and it is definitely oriented towards being good global citizens, working for the United Nations, working to restructure the world, working to change everything. And that theme or that feeling of changing everything, and I do mean everything, was palpable throughout the 3 days that I spent at the virtual parliament. Indeed, that is the point. We have to transform everything if we're going to save Mother Earth. That is compassion in action.
Wow. Logan, can you see my screen real quick? Is that visible? Because I want to break in here with some breaking news. All right. Here we go. This is the breaking news today on Yahoo. I just went to search something on Yahoo. Here's the breaking news. Trump Lindell ally leads race for Arizona governor. Former local news anchor Kerry Lake earned former President Donald Trump's endorsement after touting the false claims that Joe Biden stole the election 2020. Yeah, really false claims. But notice Trump Lindell ally. Why? We interviewed her at CPAC, and then we interviewed her, about 2 weeks ago, Logan? And so she is the former newscaster in Phoenix that walked away from her job because she said she couldn't continue to read the teleprompter and the propaganda. But that was just what popped up when I went to Yahoo to do a search real quick. And that's, I know, driving the left absolutely mad. All right. Thank you for showing that, Logan. All right. Back to our program here with Carl Tycrib. Your website's forcingchange.org. Is that right? Forcingchange.org?
That's right. Forcingchange.org.
You remember the guy named Fletcher on moral relativism, situational ethics?
Yes.
I write about him in my book, Marxianity, and he redefined the whole concept Joseph Fletcher was his name, and he wrote the book Situation Ethics, and it came out, I can't remember what year, but it was, I'll check here what year it came out, but it's an older book, and this guy claimed to be a Christian, and he really pushed the. Do you remember what year it came out? Do you remember?
No, I don't, but it is a few years old already. I know that.
Yeah, I'll look up the date on it. But he redefined love. He redefined love. I think it came out in the 60s, but I'm going to tell you here in a minute. He redefined love to say that something was loving if it accomplished a good goal. For instance, he said, when it came to abortion, this guy claimed to be a Christian, and he was pushing. And if you read the book Situation Ethics by Joseph Fletcher, that really kind of considered one of the fathers of situational ethics, and he was tied big time to the communists. I deal with this in my book Marxianity. But he said abortion was loving because, after all, who would want to have an unwanted child come into the world? Therefore, abortion is loving. So the point I'm making is when these people use the word love or compassion, they have totally different meanings than we do. Right, Carl?
Absolutely. And part of the importance for researchers like myself, and there's a handful of us in North America who do this, not a lot, but there's a handful. Part of the importance of it is trying to understand how the language itself is being used. There's a lingo. And when you go through it, you realize that there's a form of doublespeak that's taking place. It's not the same definitions that you or I would understand.
His book came out in 1956. So
that long ago?
Yeah,
okay.
Can you believe it? 1956. It was really considered quite groundbreaking. And he writes the whole book as though he's this, you know, this religious dude, you know, and God. And you read it, you're like, oh, my. Yeah, it's very relevant for today. All right, we're going to pick it right back up here. We come back from the break with Carl Tycrib. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Brandon House with a freeze-dried food update. In 2020, there was some of the highest demand for freeze-dried food this nation has ever seen. And as a distributor for Mountain House Foods that we use to provide a service to you with, as well as use to help fund our broadcast network, I can tell you in 2020, we tried for months and months to catch up on our back orders. There was such a huge demand. In fact, I'm told that Mountain House went through about 6 months' supply of food in a matter of days. So they were running 24/7 just to try to get caught up. Well, we were doing the same, and it took many, many, many pallet loads coming in to finally get caught up. Well, here we are now in the summer of 2021, and we're caught up. Many people are going back to life as normal, so they think. But do you really think life is going to go back to normal? The odds are overwhelming that this crisis that they created, this crisis that they manufactured, has worked so well to accomplish their goals, of which are many, including the destruction of the free market system, our religious liberty, our ability to assemble, and to put absolute control and fear into people so they could get them to go where they otherwise would never go. My friends, the fall and winter of 2021 and into 2022 could be quite staggering for this nation. There are many threats coming against our nation. We have seen the hacking of the Colonial Gas Pipeline. We have seen the first or second largest distributor of frozen food having their computers hacked into. We have seen many things that cause us to know that there is reason to be concerned about the disruption of the just-in-time inventory that includes the food that shows up at your grocery store. We also know China is buying up land in huge quantities here in America, along with Mr. Bill Gates and others. We know that China owns many of our meatpacking plants. So I'm going to let you know something, and that is this. We are seeing a lull in orders because we now have a lot of people thinking life's going to go back to normal. Well, I would urge you, while there's a lull and while you can get freeze-dried food, to get it. Because I'm rather confident in the coming weeks, we're going to once again be going into fall and winter, and there's going to become a surge of demand for freeze-dried food. I don't know why people want to wait until they need it to get it. Because usually, if everybody is running toward a certain item, there's going to be a issue of supply. So I'm urging you right now, if you want to obtain emergency food, and I believe Mountain House is the best. I've ordered it for my family for many years. I've eaten it since high school. It's the choice of many in the Navy SEALs. If you'd like to order Mountain House food from us, freeze-dried food, it has a 25-year shelf life. I would urge you to do it now while we have the inventory. Not only will you have an issue with inventory, we have inflation, so prices could go up. So I would urge you to order now, as we look to what's coming this fall and winter, because I don't think they're going to let this go. I think we're going to go into another period of time that could be very troubling for our grocery stores and just-in-time inventory. To place your freeze-dried food order, please go to wvwtv.com/store. That's WV, as in Worldview Weekend, wvwtv.com/store. wvwtv.com/store. If you prefer to order over the phone, you can call during normal business hours, 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. Don't wait until there is a huge demand again and a lack of supplies. Order while you can actually receive it in a timely manner. Thank you. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. You know, interesting about this article on Yahoo today, Trump, Lindell, ally leads race for governor of Arizona, Carrie Lake, who I've interviewed now twice. If the claims by Donald Trump and Mike Lindell are so crazy as the media wants you to believe, why is she leading in the polls in Arizona? Huh? Because the people know it's true. The people know there was election fraud. They know this, the election was stolen. So I know the media is going nuts today over that, and this is good. Joining me today, however, for radio now and television, for those of you watching via TV, is Carl Tykrib, a friend of many, many, many years. And his website is forcingchange.org, forcingchange.org. He just sat through days and hours, up to 14 hours a day. At one time, 14 hours for one day, was that right?
Roughly that, yeah. Yeah.
Listening to the World Parliament of Religions. And again, for people who think that religion is not going to drive globalism, then you don't fully understand globalism, which is why I wrote the book Marxianity, Marxism and Christianity Merging, which, by the way, the five palettes did arrive. And so the process of packing those up begins now, and it's actually begun. And so by next week, we'll start shipping those, as we promised. We take a big, big, big load all at one time. And so, again, if you did not get a copy of Marxianity and you'd like to order one, but really we lowered the price from $20 from the first printing to the second printing down to $4.99, hoping you would order quantities and give them away, so you can educate people, because religion is a driving force behind this globalism. And you can order the book Marxianity at $4.99 at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. And I do hope you'll order quantities. Now, Carl, when you went there, tell me some of the biggest names that are also moving in the area of global public policy that were there.
Oh, boy. Got to think here, because I have some names. Some of the names are maybe not exactly the most noticeable in terms of household names, but one that struck me was Mansala Ramphal, who's the co-president of the Club of Rome. And the very fact that she was there was quite revealing. David Corton, also from the Club of Rome, was there. He's a well-known economist in leftist circles. Jonathan Granoff, the president of the Global Security Institute, a lot of connections inside the United Nations. We had the spokesperson for UNESCO, probably not UNESCO, UNICEF USA. She was there. Marion Williamson, who she's well-known within the New Thought movement, friend of Oprah, well-known as a New Ager, but also was being groomed to run on the Democrat ticket as a presidential candidate, and was in the race for a short time. She was also at this event. The Dalai Lama, of course, Jane Goodall. It's quite a list of people. Eboo Patel, who was the member of President Barack Obama's advisory council on faith-based neighborhood partnerships, was also one of the people involved.
Who also is a Muslim, and who also worked with some of the liberal groups a few years ago, as I wrote about in one of my books. He worked on something called The Third Way. The Third
Right.
Way. And it was subtitled Progressives and Evangelicals Coming Together to Create a Third Way. Progressives, socialist, and evangelicals coming together for a third way. And so you take a little, it's the Hegelian dialectic. You take a little bit of the socialism of the progressives and that of the so-called evangelicals, you merge them together. But, of course, it doesn't end up being evangelicalism anymore, does it? It just keeps moving the ball to the left, always to the left.
Always. Some of the other ones that automatically should raise eyebrows for people, we had a special message sent by Pope Francis. It was read to the audience through one of the members of the Vatican. In fact, there was a fair amount of Catholic involvement at the level of cardinals and Vatican representation. We had members of the World Council of Churches. That shouldn't be a surprise. But we also had at least one member, who was quite vocal as a representative of the World Evangelical Alliance. The other side of it, when people think of interfaithism, they automatically think that Islam is not too involved. It is very, very involved. So we had the Secretary General of the Interfaith Dialogue Center, known as CASID, and CASID is a intergovernmental, international, interfaith organization that was put in place and is funded by the government of Saudi Arabia in partnership with a number of countries, including Spain, also in a joint relationship with the Vatican's Holy See office.
We had a special
presentation or words of welcome from the Secretary General of CASID. So So there's a real mix of religions and political players, and it's always pointing towards we need to support the UN, we need to support their climate change agenda. In fact, the parliament sends ambassadors to climate change conferences and summits, and we'll be doing so again. So it's a real interlock. This is really spiritual politics.
Oh, that's a good way to put it, spiritual politics. So tell me, what did the Marxist Jesuit Pope Francis, what was his message that was read?
His message was a wonderful flowery speech that really didn't say a whole lot, except we all have to work together. References by other Catholics were towards what he wrote in 2015, his encyclical on caring for the earth, his encyclical that talked about how we need to become more nature-centric. And of course, he was endorsing and giving words of encouragement and giving words of recognition that we're on the right path.
And of course, I don't know if you watch any of the TV shows and radio shows I've done the last few weeks, going through the 90-minute presentation that was delivered around the end of September by Archbishop Vigano. But you know Archbishop Vigano is warning about the Jesuits, Pope Francis. He won't call him Pope Francis. He calls him Bergoglio. He's warning about Bergoglio, the Jesuits, and the Freemasonry, and globalism and the global reset. Did you follow any of those TV shows I was doing with that in there?
I didn't. I didn't follow that. Sorry, but no, I wasn't able to.
So the point I'm trying to make, though, Carl, is there's a war going on in the Vatican, in the Catholic Church, just as there is in the Protestant Church, between those who want globalism and Marxism and socialism and those who do not.
Well, and that goes back all the way to, I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name. He wrote a number of books in the 1990s. He was a Vatican insider.
You're talking about Malachi Martin.
Yes, I can't believe the name escaped me. That's horrible. Yes, yes. And he also demonstrated that war that was happening within the Catholic Church and within the Vatican.
So tell me let's go through some of the objectives. Okay, there was an awful lot of talk. So
yes,
what were they saying? I mean, if you had to put the bullet points of saying, okay, now after watching hours and hours and hours for days of the World Parliament of Religions, here, Brannon, is what they say they're going to do. Here are the bullet points. Look out, people. Here's what's coming. Because they usually tell us what they're going to do. What are they going to do?
Oh, yes. Probably some of the more important things is pushing for the recognition that COVID, as a global pandemic, is going to force us and continues to force us to see everything through the lens of global interdependence. So that narrative is going to be continually pushed through our so-called faith communities. And in fact, the World Evangelical Alliance, in partnership with UNICEF, and there was a joint session between the two, talked about how faith-based communities are helping to fund UNICEF so they can get the vaccine in the arms of roughly 2 billion people by the first quarter of 2022. And so there is going to be a continual, nonstop push for a progressive use of the COVID crisis as a crisis of opportunity to ensure that we go down the road of global governance and interdependence. That was their beginning to end. There was no question.
Was there any talk about carbon credits? Was there any talk about digital currencies, the Great Reset?
No talk about digital currencies in the sessions I was in, but the climate change crisis was absolutely forefront in terms of the one of the main talking points. And we need to change our policies, particularly. We need to change our personal behaviors. We need to engage in much stronger nature-centric actions that will ensure that we can deal with the climate change crisis at the international, national, and local levels. That was there all the way through. You couldn't escape it. This really was a nature-centric message, a nature-first message that was being preached from one end to the other.
So was there pantheism?
For myself as a researcher, I found very interesting right away was, and I knew this was kind of happening, but I didn't really have my fingers on it. The United Nations right now is engaged in negotiations over a new biological convention, biodiversity convention. They had the 1992 biodiversity treaty, and then there was some renegotiations and a restructuring of it, I think, back in 2010, 2011. Now there's a brand new one happening that's taking place. And the World Evangelical Alliance, this came out in one of the workshops I was in, is leading a global interfaith campaign with a myriad of faith groups, global governance partners, organizations promoting one world, organizations that are either Buddhist or Unitarian or Islam. But there is now a campaign that they are leading to advocate for strong nature-first language in this new upcoming United Nations Biodiversity Convention. So, in other words, Brannon, it all points to a form of pagan politics where nature is what we serve. That's Romans 1.
Yeah, that's Romans 1. They worship and serve creation rather than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. And this is pantheism. All is God. Pantheism, the belief that all is God. And it's also known as panentheism. God is in all. Panentheism. So panentheism, God is in all. Pantheism, all is God. And what's ironic is that Archbishop Vigano warned about that, that this is pantheism, and he used that word pantheism a few times. Many people who have been reading my books for years know that probably now close to 15 years ago, I was warning about something known as one-world spirituality. One-world spirituality, which included this idea of pantheism. All is one. And this is, again, what led me, and I wish I'd written it down. You could go back and play the clip for you. But I think some of the folks in my audience remember 10 plus years ago, I said, I see the day coming when you go to the grocery store and they are running your groceries or whatever it is you're buying at Lowe's or Home Depot or Walmart or wherever you're buying it. Beep, beep, beep. As it rolls across the scanner and the product is registered that you're buying, that there will be a credit score tied to that purchase, a carbon credit score, if you will, your carbon footprint. And many, I don't know if anyone in this audience remembers that. I'd love to get an email from you if you remember me talking about this 10 years ago or more. And I said, I believe the day is coming when you're going to be penalized for what you're buying based on the carbon footprint that product that you're buying leaves. And this, I said, I believe will in some way be tied to a global currency. And I said, I believe it will be done so for one main reason. Not only is it, of course, to punish the free market system and manufacturing and, you know, production, but the main reason I said at the time was that it would point everyone back to the idea of Mother Earth, Gaia Earth worship. What are you doing to Mother Nature? I'd love to hear by email, Brannon at worldviewweekend.com, if any of you remember me telling you that story a few times 10 plus years ago. When I come back from the break, I want to share with you what I predicted, what Carl's telling you now, and what came out today that shows you that's exactly where we're going. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Brannon House. Do you appreciate all the free radio shows and TV shows that we put out at worldviewradio.com and wvwtv.com? Well, if you do, will you support what we're doing? We have established several years ago Worldview Weekend Foundation. Our mission, well, there's several goals we have, but one of them is to provide people with biblical worldview programming, both radio and television. Now, these programs are free as a service and ministry of WVW Foundation. We could do what many people do, and that is they take their radio shows and their TV shows, and if you don't see them live, they go behind a paywall. In fact, some of them don't even make their shows available to anybody unless you belong to their club and get behind their paywall. We don't do that. We've wanted to make sure that we're offering the broadcast public service of our TV and radio shows to anyone, regardless of whether or not they can support what we're doing financially or not. So as a ministry and public service, WVW Foundation helps to underwrite the expenses of much of the bandwidth that we have to pay for. You see, when you watch a free radio show or TV show, it may be free to you, but it's not free. We incur thousands of dollars a month in paying for bandwidth. In fact, the last time I checked, we're spending $8,000 a month to give away free radio shows and TV shows just through the bandwidth bill. That doesn't count all the other expenses. But our Worldview Weekend Foundation exists in part to help us give away free radio shows and TV shows, and certainly at this crucial time in America and around the world. There's many other things that we do here at WVW Foundation, as you know. But if you appreciate the free radio shows and TV shows, would you make a tax-deductible contribution right now to our organization? You can do that at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com. You can also call during normal business hours and give over the phone using a credit card, 901-825-0652. That number is 901-825-0652. Again, 901-825-0652. You can also use our mailing address, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Again, that's WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Thank you for your tax-deductible support of the WVW Foundation so we can make free programming available to everyone. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Worldviewradio.com, my guest, Carl Tykrib, his website, forcingchange.org. Forcingchange.org. He's an expert on globalism, interfaith dialogue, the United Nations, transhumanism, technocracy, and you'll find his book, Game of Gods, at ForcingChange.org. He just went and spent online hours, literally up to 14 hours a day for several days now, through the World Parliament of Religions, something that's been around since late 1800s, right?
1893 was the very first parliament. And here's something that's really kind of should take everybody by a little bit, not by surprise, but the importance of the 1893 parliament. That importance of that first event over 100 years ago still resonates with the parliaments that I have attended. At the 2015 parliament, they talked a lot about the 1893 event. Likewise, at the 2018 parliament, and again, at this one, there was a number of references back to the 1893 parliament. Why? Why is that so important to this movement? Well, not only is it the starting place of interfaithism, it really was the starting place of this ideal of internationalism, that we could come together as one, nations coming together, religions coming together, the world moving towards heaven on earth. And if you go and look at the speeches that were given back at the 1893 parliament, especially with the speeches of Swami Vivekananda and some of the others, it was a bridge between the East and the West. And you could look at the 1893 event as the turning point when the world began to think of itself in with an international lens like never before. And, of course, the 20th century with our world wars, with the conflict that we had, we at the same time we had this movement all the way through, mostly in the realm of politics, but always with an underscoring position where religions are a part of this. We had this movement towards one world. And so there's an importance historically going back to the 1893 parliament.
What did you make of what
it still has its shadows over us today?
What did you make of what I said before the break, that, you know, like 10 plus years ago I was talking on this radio show about the fact that even when you go to the grocery store, I believe you'll be penalized based on your carbon footprint in order to push people to the concept and the idea of Mother Earth and what you're doing to the Mother Earth and Gaia Earth worship, which fits with this pantheism and this one world spirituality that I wrote about 15 years ago. I laid out the essence of what is one world spirituality. And what do you make of that concept or that idea and where we are today?
Yeah, you know something, you were right back then. You had your finger on it. I mean, we have been looking at cutting edge research for now decades, Ben. You've been in this for a long time. I've been in this full time since 1997. We're kind of old hats in this arena. But that said, we can look back and we can see, all right, what we were saying, what we were pointing at 10, 15, even 20 years ago and more is now coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Now the technology is here. The technology, and this is so important, the technology and the worldview are merging.
Let's go to the screenshot because it is merging, and I saw this today, and it reminded me of that story I told years ago on the radio about when you go to the grocery store and they scan your product, you'll be charged according to your carbon footprint to connect you back to Mother Earth and what you're doing to Mother Earth. And then today over at worldviewreport.com, for those of you who know, of course you know, but if you don't, worldviewreport.com is your conservative worldview alternative to the Drudge Report that's gone into the ditch. So if you go to worldviewreport.com, you're going to find just tons and tons of aggregated news articles that I throw up that I believe are very, very interesting, very important. And those of you watching by television see that the list gets long, and Jill helps me keep it up and clean it up. And I post it up. I post everything on here. She'll do some, but I post a lot of these on here myself, and then she helps keep it clean. But one of the ones I posted today is right here, because I think it fits with what I was saying 10-plus years ago. Transaction denied. Get ready for credit card that cuts off spending once you hit your CO2 max. LifeSite News, transaction denied. And the article says, the company that created a credit card to track your purchases' CO2 emissions is set to launch a premium version of the card that cuts off your spending as soon as you hit your carbon max. And Doc Economy has partnered with MasterCard and the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change to create technology for the everyday consumer that, quote, connects the purchase price of a product with the effect on the planet measured in kg CO2 and then recommends the amount to offset, practically putting a price on carbon, end quote, as the Doc Economy website explains, end quote. That's exactly what I told you guys was coming 10-plus years ago. I mean,
no,
here
it's interesting. We have a pagan spirituality that has arisen and has been, you know, for quite some time. We have a pagan politics that comes with it, where it says our policies, our national behaviors, our individual behaviors have to be steered towards saving Mother Earth. And now we have pagan economics, which says that our economic life has to be geared towards saving Mother Earth. Yeah. Goes back to Romans 1, as we said earlier, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it does. Let's get ready to open the phone lines. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. And just to show you again how evil the people are that are in power, here's another article at worldviewreport.com. Kamala Harris colluded with Planned Parenthood to put pro-lifers in jail who exposed baby part sales. And this just shows you again this depopulation plan. Don't forget the 1974 Kissinger report. I talked about it in my Ozarks presentation. That was all about decreasing the world's population through America funding abortion on demand all over the world. The 1974 Kissinger report from Henry Kissinger that Ronald Reagan declassified and released to the public in 1989. But these people are all about killing. They're all about Satanism. I mean, I don't have any qualms saying I believe theologically that Kamala Harris, Joe Biden will spend eternity in hell. There is no hope for them to be saved. I know that may shock some of you that I say that, but you get to a point, your conscience is seared. You've been turned over. You're done. You're toast. I believe Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have both reached the point where their conscience has been seared. I think at this point they are doomed to spend eternity in hell, and I think that is manifested by the fruit of their life, that their conscience has been doomed, that their conscience has been seared and they are doomed. And these people serve Satan. You let the headline be, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden serve Satan. And they are involved in the pagan sacrifices of children, just like the Babylonian cults or any of the other occults over the years that have sacrificed children. And they have done their best to put into prison the people that have tried to stop this pagan sacrifice of children. And I believe just as Hitler offered up the Jews to a Babylonian system, and if you want to learn more about that, read Mark Musser's book, Nazi Ecology, or watch my documentary, Siege. The Holocaust was really a Babylonian human sacrifice to the gods. That's what these people are doing as well. Because they believe by doing this, they are serving the god of this world, Satan, and they're serving Mother Earth. And so I'm not shocked to find that article recently about her doing that. Kamala Harris. Would you comment, Carl? You can disagree with me if you want to. Feel free to disagree.
Well, I think in essence, you've nailed it in that this is serving the God of this world. There's no doubt about it. Is there no hope for their souls? That's between them and God. And I truly hope there is some repentance. I hope that my government, I hope I see some repentance out of my own Canadian government. Do I expect it? No, not at all.
Well, there's very few people. There's
yeah,
very
do
few
I hope
people.
For it? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely we would hope for it. But there's very few people that I would say there's no hope for them. But there's certain people, I look at them, George Soros, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. There's certain people, Bill Gates. There's certain people I look at, and I personally believe these are people whose conscience have been seared. And at that point, there is going to be no hope for them. That's not something I say with glee or joy. I hope I'm wrong and they could come to salvation. But you, when you start looking at what is being manifested in the life, in their life, and the fruit of their life, you reach a point where you're like, this is someone whose conscience has been seared. They can do mm-hmm. these things and literally laugh about it. You know, they have mm-hmm. no conscience. And the Bible speaks to that issue, right? And we know that Romans 1 says that they have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. And knowing the righteous judgments of God, they still do what is wrong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not quick to say that, but a lot of these global leaders, I believe their conscience has been seared. There's probably very little hope, if any, for them because they have been given over. And I think that's, again, shows us just how serious it is when people deny that God-given moral law that has been placed on their heart and their mind, their conscience, con meaning with, science meaning knowledge. They sin with the knowledge they've offended a holy and just God. And as they deny that, or as the Bible says, suppress it. And finally God says, fine, if that's what you want to do, go on your way. And he totally releases them to go their way. The choice they made. God ultimately doesn't send anyone to hell. They chose to suppress the warning sign that was going off in their conscience, their heart, and their mind over and over. And they kept ignoring that God-given conscience that told them, this is wrong. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork, that there is a God, general revelation. God wanted them to come to him so much that he gave them a conscience that bore his character, and he even installed it in the laws of nature, nature's God, and in the evidence of the creation that there is a God. And they spit on all of it, and God said, then go your way. Go your way.
What strikes me is, as I'm hearing you speak that, is you've just described our culture.
Yeah.
You've just described our culture. And you're right. The scripture makes it clear there is a point when God says it's done. You do go your way. And there's a theme that you find in the book of Isaiah where we tend our idols, God gives us over to the idols and the lusts and the desires and the direction that we want to go. There's almost like kind of a theme that way. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing that now. We follow our own inclination, what we believe is best in our own eyes. And we're doing that globally because this is really man at the international level saying, we will create a vision of ourselves and we will make this happen at the international level. We will remake the world in our image. Unfortunately, though, Brandon, that's the sin problem of humanity. And it also is in our culture and it's in the hearts of men and women everywhere, and if I'm honest about it, I battle with that sin nature too.
Oh, we all do.
But thank goodness for the grace of God, for those who bow our knees to Him.
Yeah.
Even though we struggle with it sometimes on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's Romans 6 and Romans 8. You know.
Right.
What shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But we also know that there is now, as Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we battle the old man and the new mind. But as you said, we at least came to that point through faith and repentance where we became a new creation. We no longer serve the flesh. Phone lines are lit up. We'll go to them when we come back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Recently, I had Melissa Tate in my studio audience. Melissa was raised in Zimbabwe, and she told me a very interesting story while at the news desk. She spoke about the hyperinflation of Zimbabwe. In fact, she referenced her mother, and she said that her mother had, and she gave the number of somewhere, say, around $200,000 in her savings. But under hyperinflation, she said that $200,000 that would have bought a very nice house in Zimbabwe prior to the massive inflation ended up buying just a bag of groceries. Let me say that again. We have on video someone by the name of Melissa Tate that has seen the ravages of Marxism and socialism and hyperinflation. And she said $200,000 savings account of her mother was relocated to having the purchasing power of buying a bag of groceries. I asked her, who survived that economically? She said those that were invested in hard assets, tangible, real assets. You know what's real money, real assets, real wealth? I'll tell you, gold, silver, houses, and land. Gold, silver, houses, and land. That's real assets. Gold and silver is a real money. It's a real storing of wealth. And my friends, if you are interested in finding out more about how you can be diversified to protect yourself against the rising inflation in America, and you all know there's rising inflation. The question is, will it turn into hyperinflation? But how about confiscation of your wealth, your hard-earned life savings? We know that there is a war being declared on Christians, conservatives, and constitutionalists. Do you want to legally put some of your assets in a way that allows you to have privacy? Well, you can check into numismatic coins. Numismatic coins, those 1933 and older coins, that gives you privacy. Whether you're talking bullion or older coins, if you want to get educated on precious metals, I urge you to call Swiss America. They have been sponsors of ours for many years. In fact, I'm going to give you the cell phone number of Wes Peters. Wes has become a friend of mine for the last several years, and many of you have met him as he has exhibited at many of our Worldview Weekend conferences. If you would like to get a no-obligation free packet of information, no-obligation free packet of information, you can call or text Wes on his cell phone number at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. You can text him your name, number, and mailing address, and just simply say, hey, I heard about the free packet of information. Here's my information. Send it to me. Or you can call him. Text or call 602-558-8585. 602-558-8585. Now, after you get the packet of information, go through it, write down all your questions, and then call him and follow up. Wes is about education. He wants folks to be educated. He believes after they do their own due diligence, have their questions answered, and obtain the education they need, they can make a decision that is best for them. There is no cookie cutter, folks. We don't give financial advice. We give financial education and opinion. You need to do your homework and decide what is best for you. I believe that begins by getting this free packet of information by texting Wes Peters or calling him at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. Don't wait until your life savings buys the equivalent of a bag of groceries, as happened in Zimbabwe. Oh, I'm getting notice from Deb in Wisconsin. Walmart in Wisconsin now has a digital proof offered when you get the COVID shot. Wow. By the way, if you go to worldviewreport.com, you'll hear about the, I guess, the pharmacist at a Safeway that went over the PA system and said that they were quitting. They could no longer stand by and watch people get the injection, this poison. The pharmacist called it poison. By the way, last night I interviewed a former Pfizer employee. Actually, I guess she's still a Pfizer employee, but she's about to be fired. Talking about the vials, hundreds, I guess thousands upon thousands upon thousands of vials of the COVID being made at Pfizer in the McPherson, Kansas plant and them glowing. And there were, she provided us with pictures of the solution glowing. That was on last night's TV show. That if it's not at frankspeech.com, it is over at wvwtv.com. You can watch it at wvwtv.com. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-347-9829. Andrew in Florida. Thank you for calling in, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Brent. Mr. House, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
I just wanted to comment. I'm just real fast. I'm 40 years old, and my first movie that I remember going to Blockbuster Video was Brainwash the movie, right? And I believe you. I just didn't believe it would happen here in the United States of America. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the warning signs and seeing it before it really took place the way it looks like it's taking place. So I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to thank you. But real fast, I don't know if it's like a George Orwell a little bit, but I don't know the name of this. This is my research that I'm trying to do real fast is you got communism, Marxism, socialism, but what do you call that? Is it globalism? Like the word?
Yeah, well, what's going on a global scale I would call globalism, and globalism to me is international socialism. Hitler had the Nationalist Socialist Workers' Party, more of a national socialism, but he, of course, had goals of globalism. But I see what we're doing today being international socialism. Another word for international socialism would be globalism. Now, when you start talking about socialism, communism, Marxism, you're really talking about the same thing, just varying degrees, as we've explained in previous programs. But then when you start adding in the spiritual element of this, and adding in all the world's religions with this pluralism and this syncretism, that to me is really the essence of globalism. Because globalism isn't only about economics, it is also about religion and big government and big business merging. So I think globalism is big government, big business, and a spirituality, which is exactly the three-legged stool we see in Revelation 18. Would you want to comment, Carl?
Yes, I can see it that way too. It's a worldview that permeates big politics, big business, and big religion.
Yeah. Andrew, thank you for the call and the kind words, Andrew. Bart in Dallas, Texas. Bart, thanks for calling in today.
Hey, Brandon.
Hi.
So Karen Kingston back in late August said that the vaccine makers, I think Pfizer in particular, was supposed to release the ingredients of their vaccine within 2 weeks, like around September 10th or 12th. And I later read that they never did release it, but I don't recall in all the Karen Kingston times you've talked to her, you guys readdressing that and why they didn't release it and what the PR slant was.
Yeah. Well, Bart, great question. I don't know why they haven't released it, but if you go to WVWTV.com, you can watch the interview I did last night with Melissa, the Pfizer employee who I think is hours from being fired, who released the pictures of the vials glowing and this substance, and it does appear to be glowing. I asked her that. We talked about that last night. She said there are people in – I'm just telling you what she said. There are people in the mixing room that are mixing the contents that go in this vial. They don't know what they're mixing. And I asked her, now, is that the case with other things? No, they know what they're mixing. They know what the ingredients are. And they know what they're mixing to put into the system that then goes into these individual vials going down the production line. And I got her to repeat it. So I said, you're telling me the people in the mixing room, they're mixing the ingredients that make up this vaccine, so-called, don't know what it is. She said, no, they do not. And I said, and that's not standard. She said, no, that's not standard. They generally know what ingredients they're mixing and putting together. So from her, Bart, even the people making it in the plant in McPherson, Kansas, she says, don't know what it is they're mixing together and what's in it.
Brandon, I heard that last night, but Karen seemed to indicate in August that legally they had to release the ingredients, and I just haven't heard addressed why they legally didn't do what she said they were going to have to do.
Well, I'm supposed to have Karen back on in the next couple days, so I will specifically ask her your question, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you, Bart. Bart from Dallas, Texas, checking in. Zoe in Illinois. Zoe, thank you for calling in, Zoe.
Hi, Brandon. I should have a good question for Carl, but I have to ask if either one of you saw a story about a high school, and I don't know where it was, and I didn't save this because I was so repelled, I just actually deleted it, that they had a project of having students figure out ways that they could make food out of babies. It's hard for me to even repeat this, but I wondered if either one of you saw it. either this morning or last night.
I have not seen it. If you found it, I would love for you to send it to me. If you do find it, otherwise I will look for it. Have you heard of this, Carl?
I haven't, no, but likewise I'd be interested.
Because this is a cannibalism that goes along right with a nation that, again, has been given over and has done things that are beyond what one can imagine. And if that is really being taught, I would want to know that, Zoe. Thank you, Zoe. Let's go to Gary, line four, Gary in Michigan. Gary, thank you for calling in, Gary.
Hi. I have some information that I found out a few years ago about the Catholic Church versus the real Christians. And I found it in Haley's Bible handbook. He's got a whole list of the popes from the beginning up until the 20th century. And Pope Leo I, back in the 1500s, I think, when the Reformation was going on, he enlisted the Jesuits as his army.
Yep, that's right. And the Jesuits, then that's what Archbishop Vigano was warning about in his 90-minute presentation the other day, the Jesuits, because they are considered the Pope's, you know, Marines, if you will. And, of course, now you got the first Jesuit Pope in there. So the Jesuits, we've done a whole series on the Jesuits. I've done 4 1-hours on the Jesuits. You'll find those in the Situation Room. I'll start bringing some of that stuff out and redoing that. I think it's time because a lot of you are interested in that, particularly since we have the speech now by Archbishop Vigano warning about the Jesuits. Carl, his website's forcingchange.org, forcingchange.org. Carl, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Brandon. Looking forward to our next talk.
Thank you, sir. Take care, guys.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hello, everyone out there. This is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, and I would love for you all getting involved to support Brandon Stations and his network. If you use the promo code WVW, you can save up to 66% off all my products at MyPillow.com, and half the proceeds are going to go to support his great network. Thank you.